Okay. Hey, everyone. It's Julian here from the Tower Bible Podcast, as always. But it's just me this time. No one else here, just myself. And I just walked out of the theater, Scotiabank Theater at Polo Park. Used to be just called Silver City Polo Park back in the day for you Winnipeg folks. But no, it's Scotiabank Theater now. And the last time we did this, myself and Jeremy had just got out of seeing The Predator. And we sat down, we had just our super quick initial impressions. And then we came back the next week and we did our full, you know, kind of full review. So I just got out of seeing Venom. And the rest of the guys weren't able to make it. It's Monday, Thanksgiving in Canada. And they had family stuff to do. Fair. We did our stuff last night. So here I am, nothing else to do. Let's go see a movie. And I went to see Venom. And here's the thing. If you've been listening to the show for a long time, you know that I've had the lowest expectations for this film. I was actually kind of mad it was even being made, to be honest. I'm being completely honest. I didn't even want it to be made. And yet, here we are. It's 2018, and I was not even excited about a Venom movie. And if you told myself, my 10-year-old self that, my 15-year-old self that even, I would have slapped myself in the face and said, "What's wrong with you?" And the fact of the matter is, Sony was making a Venom movie completely detached from the Spider-Man universe where the character originates from, and I was disappointed. Originally, the movie was supposed to be rated R, and that, you know, that kind of excited me a bit. They wanted to make a movie called kind of like The Thing, almost like a horror movie, similar to what we saw from the New Mutants trailer, which debuted forever ago. I don't even know if that movie's coming out anymore. But yeah, here we are. And, as the news about this movie came out, it changed a lot. You know, we went from rated R to, they're thinking about PG-13, and the movies came out, no, we're doing PG-13. So that was disappointing, and that my expectations got even lower. The trailer dropped. The look of Venom was dumb. You know, they've changed it a bit. And then people got a little bit more excited. I was like, okay, maybe I'll give it a shot. And then, you know, coming into the movie, Tom Hardy, star of the film, says stuff like, "Oh, my favorite stuff from the movies, not even in, it all got cut." So again, still just completely disappointed by what they're doing. And then, okay, couldn't have lower expectations, but this is a superhero movie, and I wouldn't be able to let myself live it down if I didn't at least check it out. I have to at least check it out. It doesn't hurt. I have Cinemia. I've talked about it on the show before, but Cinemia is basically a movie pass substitute here in Canada. We don't have movie pass here in Canada, but we have Cinemia, which I pay for $10 a month. I get to go see two movies in the theater. So this cost me, normally would have cost me $11.50. So I save $1.50. If I go see another movie, I'm seeing it for free, right? So it doesn't hurt. It's not going to cost me anything extra. Might as well go check it out. So I went to the theater, and here's the thing, guys. Pleasantly surprised. And I did not expect that coming out. The early reviews, the early buzz that I heard was that this movie was not only bad, it was super bad. And just a real hot garbage pile. And, you know, that was basically in line with what I expected the movie to be. So I went in this movie, look at my Twitter feed. Sorry, our Twitter feed. At Tower Babblecast on Twitter if you're not following us. Tower B-A-B-B-L-E cast on Twitter. And you'll see that I said that I was going to see the movie. I was like, it's Venom time, unfortunately. But I was surprised by how many people were in the theater, which is, kind of the buzz I've been hearing is that people have actually, general audiences have actually really, enjoyed the film despite its pretty terrible reviews. I don't have the Rotten Tomatoes score up in front of me right now, but I can't imagine it's very high. We'll see, we'll talk about that in the next show. Which we should be recording soon. I'm excited to talk about that. Lots to talk about. I saw the first three episodes of Star Wars Resistance. I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'm just going to say mixed feelings on those. You can go check our Twitter feed for some of those as well. We'll talk about that on the next show. But Venom. So Venom feels like a early 2000s superhero movie. Think early X-Men. Think Fantastic Four. Think that's the Chris Evans Fantastic Four, by the way. I hesitate to say early Spider-Man, Raimi Spider-Man, but it kind of fits the mold a bit. This idea of taking the core aspects of the character, right, of what made the character popular in the comics, and then really dropping everything else, right? Nothing outside of the idea of Venom exists in this movie. The idea of Venom being a symbiote, whatever, that meshes, merges with a host, generally considered Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock's in this movie, and the only similarity to the Eddie Brock we have in the Spider-Man universe is that he's also a reporter, I guess, and a good one. He's a blogger, a vlogger even at the beginning of this movie. But that's about where the similarities end. There's no mention of Spider-Man. He does make a reference to New York and getting run out of New York. I guess that's a nod to, I guess he lived in New York, but maybe he met Peter Parker, but blah, blah, blah. Never mentioned again, right? And, he eventually, by being a Snoopy reporter, eventually comes into contact with Venom, and then the movie kind of really takes off. But that doesn't happen until about a third of the way through the movie. And the first third is, almost kind of boring. By the numbers, his life is really good. Then it turns really shitty. And then he finds Venom, and then things start to look up, right? I think the movie's actually pretty funny. I think it does a pretty good job of blending in humor with decent action. I think there's three big set pieces in this movie, and none of them are, even the final one, they're all kind of disappointing. They're not really that great. The CG, though, it is decent. I don't love Venom's kind of slimy look. So what's really interesting to me, and this is kind of weird, but I'm sure you've seen in the trailers, the symbiotes, when they're inside their little chambers, their little like capsule things that they come from space in, they have this matte look to them, and they kind of grip things with these little grippies. And I really like that look. I think that's a really cool way of showing what Venom as a symbiote looks like, or any of the other symbiotes in the film movie. Because newsflash, there's other ones. I think you can also tell that from the trailer. A lot is given away in the trailer, by the way. I just got to be honest. If you haven't seen the trailers yet, avoid them if you're interested in seeing this movie, just because they do spoil a lot. Some of the best lines and some of the best moments from the movie. And what was I talking about? This is the problem when you're only by yourself. You have no one to bounce off of. So I completely forgot what I was talking about. But the look, right, the look of Venom. So this matte look while they're inside these capsules. But when he's like merged with Eddie Brock, and the first time we see him go full Venom, the full physical look, he's got this really shiny, slimy look to him. It looks cheap. Like, that's the impression I get. It looks cheap. I'm sure that this movie was not cheap. I don't know the cost on top of my head, but I'm sure this movie was not cheap. But that looks cheap. The way they have Venom move is really interesting. Like, obviously, we're used to Venom having, similar powers to Spider-Man. He's got the big spider thing on his chest, and he can shoot webs, but he gets those powers from Spider-Man. It wouldn't make sense for him to move like that, swinging webs and all that kind of thing. So he's really much more brutish, like jabbing his hands into walls and like running up walls that way, like kind of a beast, which I think is actually very cool. Symbiote like webbing comes out to like move things or move them around. I think that's well done and interesting. But it's disappointing not to see the Venom from the comics. And that's what I mean when I talk about feeling an early 2000s movie. It feels like it's just trying to do it, take the idea and run with it. Because this would maybe be a really interesting Elseworld story, if I can use that DC term for a Marvel property here. But at the end of the day, I just feel like this is the disappointment of not having this character in the MCU is a big loss. I really feel that way, especially now after seeing it, the movie, because I feel like they do a good job of making Venom sympathetic. There's one particular line I think that's kind of weird the way that they do it, a little surprising. and it comes late in the movie. This idea of that they introduce about Venom, the actual character separate from Eddie, and but they do a good job of making him feel sympathetic, while at the same time maintaining the little bit of the scare factor. This movie is not scary in any way, which I really, again, I don't like horror movies. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, you'll know that I do not like horror movies. I don't. I don't enjoy the experience of being afraid. But that being said, I was looking for more of a thriller feel from this film, and it's really not that at all. It's very much just your run-of-the-mill standard action superhero movie. And that's just the way she's going to go with this. What else? Yeah, so the performances in this film are decent, I guess. I only see that as a whole because Tom Hardy's performance is, I've seen people say online, mesmerizing. I wouldn't go that far. I don't think it's at all mesmerizing. I think that's a bit crazy. But it is really good considering that I think originally they had cast somebody to do the voice of Venom, the actual symbiote's voice. And they obviously didn't go that route for the final product because Tom Hardy is credited as both Eddie Brock and Venom. And before I even sat down to record this in my car, because tradition keeps, I'm still recording this in my car outside the theater, that tradition says, sorry, tradition says, I said that already, but he actually, Tom Hardy did the voice for both. Obviously, he played himself as Eddie Brock, but he also did the voice of Venom, and there's a lot of digital voice changing that they do to make it work, and it's very cool. Like, I had no idea. I went to watch the entire movie thinking that it was a different actor playing Venom, and turns out it was Eddie Brock the whole time. He kind of briefly explains in this one little piece I read before I sat down here was that he was getting fed. He would sit down in the morning. He would record his Venom dialogue. They would do, the audio guys would do their audio magic stuff, and then he would get that dialogue fed into his ear. And if he was doing scenes with other people, he would have the dialogue would be played to them as well. They would just ignore it, and then he would be able to act off himself, basically be able to argue with himself, all that kind of stuff. I think that's really fun. Because especially if you go and watch this movie and you have that in your mind, the way he's able to act off of himself is actually very impressive. I think he does a very good job. I don't know what the right characterization for Eddie Brock is yet, like on film, because he's a pretty, I know he's been fleshed out more in the comics, but my understanding of him from when I was watching, you know, the 90s cartoon, Spider-Man cartoon on Fox, or basically just any early Venom stuff, is that Eddie Brock is a pretty much he's a cipher of a character. He just exists for Venom to exist, right? This dark kind of version of Peter Parker, you know, what would, as a reporter, if things didn't go Pete's way, which they don't generally, but if he turned to the dark side kind of thing, this is what his life could be. Is never been that interesting. So to give him more of something else to do in this movie is admirable, I guess. I mean, we have Michelle Williams playing his girlfriend / fiance / you know, love interest in the film. She's fine. She doesn't get much to do other than just be the girlfriend, or I don't want to get into spoilers, so I'll just leave it at that. So I don't think she gets as much to do as maybe she should. This is very much an Eddie Brock story. It doesn't really go any deeper than that. Every other character in this movie is very, very shallow. It's fine because this movie is pretty tight. It's not that long. The action happens, you know, once we get into the Venom stuff, it's pretty fun, and then the movie's over. You know, it's not hanging around or anything. We're not really working on Eddie Brock is even much, like, his arc in this movie isn't really even that great, to be honest. He's not that great of a person, and he doesn't really improve that much by the end of the movie. So, no spoilers, though. Spoilers for this this 2000s style superhero movie, but the characterization is not that strong. That's fine. Riz Ahmed's character as the villain, Carlton Drake, is, I wouldn't say laughably bad, but is like just so one note that and so not physically imposing at all, which is maybe what they're going for. It really reminds me of the Lex Luthor they tried to pull off in the DCEU, Jesse Eisenberg. I can't get behind it. This like millennial, you know, CEO from Silicon Valley who's trying to change the world but doesn't have any morals to guide him, right? That's not interesting. It's not, I don't think, is a fun kind of villain. So especially for going with a 2000s-esque theme here, let's just go full mustache twirly, go full evil villain, right? Someone wants to take over the world, whatever. But they don't go that way, right? It's really, it's not that, and it's not that interesting. Him as a villain is just disappointing. It's the least memorable part of the movie, probably. I think, to, you know, just wrap this up, because I don't want this to be super long, especially because I'm sure people don't want to hear me talking for, we're already at almost, 19 minutes or whatever, that the takeaway is, I think people are actually going to have a really fun time at the theater with this film. This is not going to win any Oscars. It might even get nominated for some Razzies, but it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, especially if you go in not expecting a lot. Go in looking forward to a really fun performance from Eddie Brock. I mean, playing Eddie Brock, but from Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock. Go in looking for a really cool dynamic that they have between Eddie and Venom. And that the way that they visualize it and bring it to life on film is actually really interesting and a lot of fun and very funny, actually, a lot of times. Maybe not intentionally so sometimes, but it works for me. But don't expect anything more than that, because you'll be disappointed. And I think that's really what helped me with this film, is that my expectations could not have been lower. They just could not have been. So if you go in expecting a fun film, a romp, as it were, that old chestnut at the theater, I think you'll have a good time. You might have some questions about, especially if you've been following the film's production, about, why they went one way rather than another. And I think we can get into some of that more stuff when we do a full review, because I hope that I'll be able to sit down with Dan and Jeremy and do a full review. If not, expect a little bit more spoilery stuff later, either this week or next week, maybe on Twitter as well. But, and also, here's the thing. If you enjoy these, like, immediately post the movie in the car up the next day kind of podcasts, I can promise you I can do more of those, because I see a lot more movies than the other guys. Especially if you don't mind me just talking to a microphone for 20 minutes, then I'd be happy to do that for you. When it comes to the super big movies, we're talking the next Avengers film, a lot of the other, basically all the MCU movies, any of the big DC films, Aquaman, I think I should at least be able to get Jeremy here for those. If not, hopefully even Dan. So do a three-person car cast and really not dive deep, because that's not what these are for, but to just really scratch the surface, get initial impressions. What do we think about this? Why do we, is it going to be huge before the reactions start to pile in and all that kind of stuff, the public reactions start to kind of shade our interpretation of the movie. So I think that it's a lot of fun. I think you can bang out a quick 20 minutes, maybe even, half an hour in a car, just chatting about what we liked about the movie right off the top. And it really avoids spoilers, because we're right out of the movie. We don't want to do that. And I think we do a decent enough job with that, especially with these right after the car things. We've only done two, but it's been so far so good. I know I talk a lot. I talk very quickly. So I do apologize if I have been annoying to you at all. Sometimes I think about that. Am I annoying people? Is my voice annoying? I hope not. I hope not. I hope you enjoy this. I like talking about movies. I like talking about good ones. I like talking about bad ones almost much, just as much. And here's the thing. I don't think Venom is a bad movie. I just think it's super all right. It's just okay. But not every movie needs to be super bad or super great. There's room for the gray area, and I'm okay with it. I'm very pleasantly surprised by this movie, at least by my reaction to it. And the movie itself, again, is just fine. And I hope you enjoy it, because I'm sure, you know, it seems like it's going to make a bunch of money. So if you did enjoy it, please let me know. Tweet me at Tower Babblecast. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TowerBabblecast. Write me a lengthy email. I love getting emails, towerbabblepodcast@gmail.com. And head over to our website, towerbabble.ca, where you can find everything that we do. There's blog posts there that I've written from, it's almost a year ago now. Some of them are more timeless than others. Go through them. I think there's some good stuff in there if you're into reading stuff that I might have, that I don't always have the chance to say on the show. I haven't had a lot of time to do new blog posts. For those who don't know, I started a new job. I'm working about 60 hours a week, maybe more. And it takes a toll, and it doesn't leave me a lot of time to do that kind of stuff. I love this show. I prioritize it. I'm recording this, what time is it? It's 11:30. I got to work tomorrow morning. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to edit the show at work tomorrow, on my lunch break, but still, I'm going to edit the show. I'm going to post it up there for you guys. Normally it would be today, or Friday, a Monday that is, or a Friday, sometime on the weekend. But hey, it's a long weekend, so that's when we see movies on the Mondays, and that's when it's going to go up on Tuesday, and then we'll be back to record a full episode sometime later in the week. But until then, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.